Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture, here in Seattle, Washington. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Donald E. Johnson, author of the recent book, Probability's Nature and Nature's Probability. Dr. Johnson holds two PhDs. He has one in Computer and Information Sciences from the University of Minnesota and another PhD in Chemistry from Michigan State University. He spent a number of years teaching at the university level. Today, he is mostly retired, however, and he's turned his attention to probably what many academics would love to do, which is writing and giving presentations. And today, he's obviously doing quite a bit of writing on intelligent design. He also gives presentations on intelligent design. He resides in Wilmington, North Carolina, and his website is scienceintegrity.com. So, Dr. Johnson, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, Casey.
Well, thank you, Dr. Johnson. And the reason I wanted to have you on our show is to talk about your new book, Probability's Nature and Nature's Probability, which you were kind enough to actually send me a couple review copies. And having read through it and reviewed it on evolutionnews.org, I definitely want to highlight your book to our listeners. Obviously, given your background in computers, logic, chemistry, research, it was unsurprising that you have a good grasp of these issues. What I found really pleasantly surprising about your book was your ability to communicate some of the technical aspects of intelligent design in a very easy to understand form that is very, very well referenced. And I would say that your book is an extremely good introduction to intelligent design. But before we get into your book, I'd like to first talk a little bit about your own background as a scientist. So can you tell us a little bit more about what is your scientific background and how did you become interested in science originally?
Well, I was interested in science from actually pre-teens. We didn't have a television set or anything. I would sit and read science books at night and eat a bowl of popcorn or something. And so from a very early age, teenager and so forth, I became very interested in science. And I realized that I wanted to get into science in more depth. Back then, of course, you know, computers were big and expensive. They didn't have computer science programs at most universities at that point when I was in my undergrad program. So my first course of study was in chemistry. Got in chemistry and totally accepted the scenarios that were presented from molecules to man, the American Chemical Society program of where we came from through chemical evolution and then into biological evolution into man. And that's what I consider to be truth. So that's how I got into the the study of where we came from. After graduating from undergrad, I went to Michigan State University and earned a PhD in chemistry then, and then got a job in chemistry and instrumentation research, computerizing laboratory equipment, and did a lot of research in the medical and scientific fields as well, working with antibody electrodes and other kinds of esoteric things and a lot of blood work and things like that. That was my first experience in my first life in chemistry and things.
And Dr. Johnson, obviously, as we mentioned in the introduction, you also went on to then study computer and information sciences. So why does somebody who already has a PhD in chemistry and an established career as a scientist, an academic, and a chemist, why did you decide to go into computers and studying computer science and basically change your academic trajectory?
Well, I was very interested in logic. When I was a chemist, I would also get interested in, well, how do I get the information to process it in computers? And so I would build the interfaces, and I would write the programs in assembly language and do the data acquisition and control of the instruments. So that kind of got me interested in computers from the chemistry aspect of it, basically go into the laboratory automation side of that. When I had a job with a medical and scientific instrument manufacturer, then I got into it even more in depth. That piqued my interest, and I ultimately wanted to teach computer science. And so to do that, I ended up going back to school and getting a second PhD in computer science.
Well, that's certainly a very interesting background, Dr. Johnson. The question I always like to ask people is, what got you interested in the debate over evolution? Obviously, not everyone is keenly interested in this debate. What got you interested in the topic of origins?
Well, actually, I got interested in the debate over origins and evolution back when I was a teenager and my first degree and so forth. But at that point, I was a staunch supporter of evolution and believed that anybody who didn't see the evolutionary facts must be the same mentality as somebody who believes in a flat earth or anything, because obviously they're blind to the facts and you can't argue with facts. And so I was on the other side of the argument at that point. So that's what really got me into the debate over evolution, because I would take the evolutionary side. And it was only when I started actually looking at the data and analyzed from thermodynamics and probability and some of the other things that, hey, this just doesn't, I mean, I was into logic as well. That's my second field in computers is very logical. And when I actually started looking at things, I said, this doesn't make any sense. And at that point, I basically switched sides, but that was not easy to do, because I basically had to throw out the things that I had learned and had been defending and everything else, realize that, hey, I was wrong. I was duped because I was believing things that were really unsubstantiated. I don't know if that answers your question about what got me into the debate or not, but I've been on both sides of the debate, not simultaneously, though, thankfully.
Oh, I think it definitely answers my question. And it sounds like you're definitely another one of the many scientists who was not always a Darwin skeptic, that you started off as an evolutionist, and it was really the evidence that brought you away from that viewpoint. So it's always interesting to hear what was some of the evidence that you found compelling that drove you to become a Darwin skeptic? And what for you, Dr. Johnson, was some of that compelling evidence?
Well, to start out with looking at the thermodynamics involved with the origin of life scenarios and basically impossibility of thermodynamically forming the types of things that were presented as the prebiotic soup scenarios, that's what started me thinking about things. And then I started looking at the probabilities. And then when a chemical evolution book, Thaxton's book, came out, the Reassessing Current Theories, that said, whoa, this is something that I better look at this a little more. I began considering what the evidence actually was at that point. And I was starting to look at getting more involved with information and probabilities and things like that. And it just was really overwhelming. It caused me to basically change the way that I was thinking.
So you, Dr. Johnson, are a scientist who's really been impacted, I would say, by some of the leading intelligent design and early intelligent design literature, as you mentioned, Charles Thaxton and Walter Bradley and Roger Olson's book, The Mystery of Life's Origin. That's very fascinating. I mean, you were actually in the field of chemistry at that time, approaching from this issue from the standpoint of a chemist. Is that correct?
Right. That is correct, yeah.
Was it compelling to you to hear other colleagues, obviously within your field, dissenting from sort of the majority mainstream materialist account of origins?
Yes, it was. I didn't want to accept what I was actually looking at and considering, because by doing so, I had to throw out a lot of what I was considering as truth and that I had learned and my background. So when I actually started looking at those things and looking at the probabilities involved with actually carrying out some of the prebiotic chemical reactions and things, it just blew my mind away, because I knew enough about chemistry to realize that doesn't make any sense.
So it sounds like you had some resistance to, even though the evidence in the end won you over, there was some resistance. And I'd like to ask you, I mean, what do you think is one of the major stumbling blocks for scientists towards coming to basically an intelligent design viewpoint, since you were in that position at one point?
Well, first of all, my background and training and everything that I've learned was in support of the evolutionary scenarios, and I believe them. And therefore, to say that those things, the things that I thought were true, aren't, that's a big step for anybody to admit, especially since I was defending those scenarios and have to eat a little bit of crow to go back to basically admit that I was wrong. And that's hard. I think it would be even harder if I were in biology, for example, because the whole training is based on the evolution as the cornerstone of evolution of biology. So that would be really hard there. It was hard enough in chemistry because of the things that I learned. Some people would have it even harder than what I had it to admit that I'm wrong.
Well, Dr. Johnson, it's wonderful to hear your story. I know that our listeners would love to hear more. Unfortunately, we're running out of time on this podcast. So we're actually going to pick up a second podcast with Dr. Johnson and finish discussing his own story, becoming a Darwin skeptic, becoming a supporter of intelligent design, and also about his new book titled Probability's Nature and Nature's Probability. Again, Dr. Johnson's website is scienceintegrity.com. So stay tuned with the ID of the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.